Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The Liturgical Scripture Readings for the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. A reading from the book of Numbers. With her patient worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in this desert, where there's no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food. In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph and mount it on a pole, and if anyone who had been bitten look at it, they will live." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole, and whenever anyone who was bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Responsorial Psalm. Do not forget the works of the Lord.
Do not forget the works of the Lord.
Hearken, my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter mysteries from of old.
Do not forget the works of the Lord.
While he slew them, they sought him and inquired after God again, remembering that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer.
Do not forget the works of the Lord.
But they flattered him with their mouths and lied to him with their tongues. Though their hearts were not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful to his covenant.
Do not forget the works of the Lord.
But he, being merciful, forgave their sin and destroyed them not. Often he turned back his anger and let none of his wrath be roused.
Do not forget the works of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Carla, on this very special feast day, we will unpack the exaltation of the cross. But before we do that, I did want to point out a really wonderful feast day. This is on September 19th, St. Januarius, a bishop and martyr. And Pope Benedict wrote this: "The blood of Jesus and the blood of the martyrs, like that of your own beloved patron, St. Januarius, is a source of new life." He was martyred back in 304. Originally was born into a wealthy family in the city of Benevento, which was near about 150 miles from Rome. But when the persecutions of the Emperor Diocletian came in 303 and 304 AD, there was chaos. He had some of his friends arrested. He went to visit them in prison. He also was arrested. And then eventually they were all beheaded. But legend holds that after his death, a holy woman collected some of his blood and stored it in some glass vials. And even today, they had the miracle of occasionally, apparently on certain days, That blood actually liquefies.
Yeah,
so
I've seen
someone
that.
To read yeah. more about St. January
it is.
And
it's
be
very
more
interesting.
Similar to him.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we have the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. So kind of give us a little background on this, Carla.
Okay, yeah, quickly. The Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, it commemorates the discovery of the true cross by Helena, who was the mother of Emperor Constantine, and the dedication of the basilica that was built by the emperor at the site of the crucifixion in the year 335.
Yeah, and really today, it's not the cruelty of the cross that's exalted today in this feast day, but it's the love of God manifested to humanity by Christ accepting the death on a cross. Again, if I can quote Pope Benedict XVI, being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event and how God wants us to enter into a relationship of love with you. So ultimately, we cannot be neutral regarding this cross. We either are for Christ or we are against him. And of course, this show, we want you to be for Christ. We want to exalt the cross because that is the love of God being manifested from Jesus Christ.
It certainly
How
is.
How important that is.
Yes.
Well, we are going to jump into our reading today. Boy, the book of Numbers, this is a great first reading. And this first reading to me describes the age-old cycle of complaining and turning against God, experiencing the natural consequences of that decision, and then repenting and receiving God's mercy and forgiveness. So, I mean, this reading today applies to us today and our country as much as it applied to the Israelites some 3,000 years ago. So, Carla, let's start with the complaining.
Well, yes, the Israelites complained about wretched food. That's what we hear in this reading. Wretched food. This was the manna, that miraculous source of food that God was providing for their daily needs. And they knew it was miraculous. The first time they saw it, what is this? They didn't know what it was. But then they gradually came to resent it because it didn't satisfy their wants. Even though it was nutritional, it kept them alive and healthy, it provided for all of their nutritional needs, it wasn't appealing to their appetite for more worldly pleasure, appetites that were developed while they lived in the pagan area of Egypt. And it's important for us to always be able to distinguish between need and want. And if I was to be honest, if I was taking an honest assessment of my own possessions, I'd probably find that about 50% of what I own is a want, not something I actually need for survival. And I'm not a wealthy person, so I can only imagine what accumulates for those who truly do have worldly wealth. That doesn't mean that our wants in and of themselves are sinful, but they can lead us into sin when we allow our wants, our selfishness, to become more important than our love of God. We live in a society driven by consumerism, and it is really easy to blur that line between want and need.
Very true. So, how does God respond to the Israelites' pride and pettiness? He draws back some of his protection. And then what happens? They start dying as a result of their sinfulness. I mean, literally. Now, how often does this happen to us, or at least figuratively? We turn against God, and quite frankly, just to be very honest, sooner or later, our lives just start to suck, right?
Everything falls apart.
Falls yep. apart. We turn inward, life gets worse, and finally we realize that having God in our lives is a whole lot better than not having God in our lives. So, in this reading from Numbers, the people repent and God shows his mercy. Make a seraph and mount it on a pole, and if anyone who has been bitten that look at it, they will live. Now, I think there's three important items for reflection here. Firstly, God is saying, take this sin that is killing you, mount it upon a pole and gaze at it. This is your path to healing. I think this is a beautiful prefiguration of Christ saying, I will take your sinfulness upon me, mount me on a pole, gaze at me, and ponder my love for you, and you will be healed. Again,
exactly.
I think that's so beautiful, that exaltation of the cross that we celebrate today. Secondly, God explicitly commands that an image be created and venerated. This does not contradict God's commandment in Exodus 20 that says you shall not make for yourself a graven image. God forgives the adoration or worship of any image. But God's command to mount a bronze serpent on a pole or to build the Ark of the Covenant, they were not objects of adoration. contrary, these were visible material items that point to God's divine salvation and grace. And thirdly, while the snake entwined staff originally comes from Greek culture, you might have heard of the rod of Asclepius, God uses a symbol to point to the healing presence of God the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the source of all healing. What a beautiful reading that first reading is. So short in how we unpack it and how long that explanation is. So many times we get deeper and deeper into these meetings, how beautiful it is.
Yeah, it is.
Well, the second reading, this comes from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. And I mean, wow, this is, Paul is laying down the truth in the opening sentence. I mean, this is what we would today call a mic drop moment.
It is.
Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Let's focus on that term, equality with God. Perhaps equality with God is perhaps the greatest form of sinful pride that is known. And that is what Adam desired in Genesis 3:4. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Adam was trying to take away those limitations to become godlike. But what does Jesus do? Jesus reverses the sin of Adam by emptying himself, by humbling himself, and becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And because of Jesus' humility and obedience, God greatly exalts him. And God tells us, you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? Live like this. Look at my son and his example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in this reading, St. Paul also reminds us that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend. The holy name of Jesus should never be abused as a curse, and yet it is. The holy name of Jesus Christ is used as an expletive and accepted as normal conversation in many circles, even on television. It's stomach turning. So here's what I do. When someone utters the name of Jesus Christ unworthily, I then follow with the words, "Have mercy on us." The utterer will usually say, "What?" To which I explain, well, praying. I mean, you started with the words Jesus Christ, and I just finished the prayer for you. I mean, you were praying, right? You weren't blaspheming, were you?
And we move now into the gospel according to John.
Yeah. So the gospel here is, it starts out with Jesus talking to Nicodemus. Now, a little background on this. This is a time when Nicodemus came to Jesus under the cover of light so that no one would know what he was doing. Nicodemus had witnessed Jesus's public miracles and he'd heard the truth in what Jesus taught, but still he needed more before he was willing to buy in completely and risk his reputation and possibly his social standing by becoming one of Jesus's disciples. Jesus is challenging Nicodemus's spiritual roadblocks, and he breaks it all down to the divine purpose, the reason that God the Son took on flesh to become man. John's gospel is the only gospel that tells us about this encounter. He doesn't tell us what Nicodemus did after this meeting with Jesus until Jesus was crucified. Jesus at that time came back into John's narrative as one of the disciples who brings herbs and spices to the tomb for Jesus' burial after the crucifixion. So many people are exactly where Nicodemus was when he started. They've been witnesses to the truth in Christianity, but they aren't quite ready to make that leap of faith, fearing how their friends and family might respond, and yet not certain that they're ready to make that commitment.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com.